to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Here we go. Hello and welcome to another edition of Shoot the Defence on FNX, brought to you by My Sportswear, Youth Energy and Save Association. See, I've remembered the sponsors this week.
Well done.
No one's going to sue me. Excellent. I'm your host, Del. This is Yannickis, and we've got two special guests tonight. We've got Rodri Giggs, as ever. How you doing, Rod?
Yeah, I'm good, mate, yeah. Are you sat on a pillow there? Because he looks smart, sure, don't you?
No. I'm cool. Oh, there's another short joke here. Poor guy.
We haven't even started yet.
Well, we have. We're live on Facebook and we're live on YouTube, so you're about to get it from both barrels. So, yeah, he hasn't got Yellow Pages, unfortunately. He's sat... Okay, no more short jokes. So you're right, Rod?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. Yeah.
You? Excellent. Yeah, can't complain, mate. Can't complain. We spoke the other day about United, so happy days at the moment. And our second guest is Mr. Troy Townsend. Welcome back to Shoot the Defence, sir. How you doing?
Yeah, it's been far too long, hasn't it?
Too long. I blame myself.
Well, I was going to say I must have been poor last time, so you shut me off. So, you know, I was pleased to get the invite back.
No, let's just blame yourself. I'll go along with that.
True, sir. I actually checked bounce last time, so... I didn't send out any checks, don't worry. You're not going to get paid, though.
It's nothing either.
Oh, great stuff. How you been anyway?
Thanks for asking. Cheers.
You been all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Very good.
Sure?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. Still short. Right. yes. So let's talk about Short and Chelsea's title defence. It's quite short, isn't it? It got off to the worst possible start, losing 3-2 to Burnley at Stamford Bridge and having two players sent off. Troy, Cahill was the first to go in the opening quarter of an hour for a challenge on the default, one that was deemed as serious foul play with brutality. Was the decision harsh or did Cahill use excessive force, mate?
You know, let me talk with my almost referee's hat on. I can see why he's been sent off. But if I'm a Chelsea player or a Chelsea fan, or which I'm not, as you well know, I'd be disappointed with that one. You know, I see far too much going on in our game where players seem to get away with stuff. And I thought that was very quick to pull out the red card and send him off straight away. And I'd be disappointed with it. But in the grand scheme of things, if you're going to talk about the letter of the law, as we must do, then with his foot raised, I mean, I don't think he touched the lad. I don't think he went in with any malice either, to be totally honest. But, you know, if we go by the letter of the law, then I can see why he's been sent off. Although I'd be massively disappointed myself, is that if that was my team and I was, you know, the manager and we're so, you know, we're in, he's overrun the ball. That's what he's done. He's overrun the ball. And I think he's tried to, you know, try and gain possession back again. And unfortunately, you know, he's got the red card to follow it.
Yeah. I was listening to a certain referee on a certain radio station. and he used the word brutality. It's got to be with brutality. It didn't look a brutal challenge.
I think a lot of the time you've got to know your players, haven't you? And you've got to know that Gary Cahill is not that kind of player. I'd be disappointed to get sent. I know we're going to talk about another sending off, you know, that happened in the game the day afterwards. And that is, you know, without, you know, trying to do, that is a red card, full stop. I don't think Cahill's gone in with any malice. I think he's keen to go and win the ball back. I don't think he's touched a player. I maybe prove wrong with all the replays that go on nowadays. But I'd be disappointed with that one, because I don't think that is, you know, like brutal or anything, you know, those terms. I don't think it's like that at all. So, you know, it's difficult because he gets a free match ban or whatever it is, and what with the international break, doesn't play again to the middle of September. So that's obviously going to be a big loss for Chelsea.
Absolutely. And mate, we briefly touched on Chelsea's squad depth last week and their issues. They went into the game without Hazard, without Costa. Obviously, Matic has been sold. Moses.
Pedro.
And Cahill's sending off obviously led to a substitution, which meant Conte basically tried the back three that he'd never used before.
Yeah.
Do you think this actually played a part in the goals they conceded? Because if you look at the way that they defended, it was poor, wasn't it?
Extremely poor. I was very surprised. Usually when a team goes down to 10 men, four at the back, if they don't play four at the back, and then the four in midfield and one up front, and the four in midfield are very kind of tight to protect the back four. So to play with the back three allowed Burnley just to get wide. And if you see from the goals, it was just crosses. And they got the joy from that. And Sandvox is good in the air as well. So he capitalised with the back three there and punished Chelsea.
I was talking to a friend of ours, Andy, you know, yep. a big Chelsea fan, been supporting him since the Kerry Dixon days. And he says, the funny thing about Chelsea, especially last season, he noticed that a lot of the goals that they conceded were from balls out wide from 30, 40 yards out, cross-field balls, diagonal balls. And the same thing happened. At the weekend. It's just like, it's almost as if they can't defend them for some reason. And I know it was a makeshift back three on. I'm saying makeshift in the sense that there's three defenders that hadn't played before together. But it was strange. It was very, very strange.
I think it was easy to go to a back four as well. They could have played Alonso left back. And then play Rüdiger with David Luiz as a four in there. So surprised they didn't do that. Very surprised.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Morata came on at half-time and scored 25 minutes into his home debut to pull it back to 3-1. Rod, David Luiz made the game even more interesting when he made it 3-2 with 4 minutes to go. But had Fabregas not got sent off for two silly yellow cards, do you think Chelsea could have got something from the game?
Personally, no, because I thought it was Burnley's day. But, you know, we'll never know, possibly, because he's a dangerous player. And, you know, I think he's got second or third most assists in Premier League history. So he's dangerous going forward. And it was just petulant. It was just from an experienced player who's been about to do something like that. It's just silly. The second one was a yellow card, and the first one, he's got it himself. So it was petulant. It was childish, and a person of his experience, you wouldn't expect it. So, you know, I hope he apologised to his teammates because he let him down. You know, Cahill, as Troy said, you know, you'd be disappointed if that was yourself. But, you know, it's the way the game's going, unfortunately. But, you know, Fabregas definitely let him down. And, you know, 4 minutes to go, 3-2 with Fabregas on the field. You've got more chance of getting 3-0 than him not being on the field. So, possibly.
Can I just add something on that, Fabregas?
Go on.
He looked frustrated to me. And I'm not talking about on the pitch. I think the fact of Chelsea not adding to the squad, I think there was a bit of frustration there somehow. It looked like there was something missing at Chelsea and the players looked frustrated. And Conte didn't seem himself as well, for me personally. You know, trying to read body language and how it was last season. And there was something missing there for Chelsea,
well, look,
for me.
I agree. I agree. The opening 10 minutes.
You agree?
Yeah, no. Two weeks in a row, what's going on? The opening 10 minutes, they did look a bit cagey, I don't know, off the pace a little bit. Cahill sending off obviously made a big difference because it's a bit of a shock to the system. I mean, let's be 100% honest, without taking the mick, for the referee to brandish a red card at Stamford Bridge for a Chelsea player, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen ever. Don't get me wrong. No, but what I'm saying is for that early on in the game, for that to happen, he showed a lot of bravery. And I think it took the sting out of the fans. They're obviously up for it. But as you mentioned with Fabregas, he's always had that petulant side. And even at 30 years old, it seems that he's not going to get rid of it.
But I think not all's well down at that football club. I mean, you know, they're champions again. Do you know what I mean? They've done what, you know, they thought that Mourinho was going to do every single season while he was there. They've got rid of Mourinho. They've bought in Conte. He's proved his worth. He's gone and won the league straight away. You know, they're back in the Champions. You know, they're back in the Champions League. They're doing what they want to do. All of a sudden, you know, they're selling off all the players that were fringe players, that were players that were good backups for last season. You know, players that would come on with 15, 20 minutes to go. Not great for the young players, but still great experience. Selling off players. And all of a sudden, like you said, you look at his bench on Saturday and he had no one to turn to. Mm. He had no one to turn to once Cahill got sent off. And I think that probably, you know, obviously we've heard the Costa situation now and Costa coming out and speaking. I don't think it's a happy ship down there. And I can't believe it when you consider that they are champions and they've got a great manager who proved to be a very good manager. And they're looking forward to, going back into the Champions League. That squad is not big enough, strong enough to go and tackle on all fronts of what they would hope to do. So, you know, the next 2 weeks could be very interesting in terms of who they buy. Because I think they're almost back to square one in where they were when Mourinho was in charge. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what Conte gets out of that squad, because I think he took maximum out of that squad last season. And yeah, look, he brought over a style of play that no one had used in the Premier League for quite a while. All of a sudden, everyone's jumped on the bandwagon and is using it as well. So, you know the guy's got credibility, but, you know, his hands are tied now. It seems so anyway. And it'll be interesting to see the next couple of weeks how Chelsea go.
Do you think the way that they fought back, to at least pull it back to 3-2, shows a sign of, I don't know, camaraderie or...
I think when Gary Cahill got sent off, I don't think anyone expected Chelsea to then go 3-0 down, 10 men or not. Do you know what I mean? Fabregas gets sent off. Yeah, silly. And, you know, ultimately, you're getting embarrassed at home on the first game of the season. You know, if that as a professional footballer, if that's not going to wake you up, then nothing's going to. You know, Morata obviously brought a little buzz into their play, you know, involved in both goals. And ultimately, they just fouled. But it would have been unjust if they had made it 3-3. And I think it would have papered over some of the cracks. So maybe they needed that defeat, to kickstart whatever's going on at the club. The only issue is they've got to go to Wembley on Sunday and they've got to go and play Spurs away. So, you know, it's going to be a difficult start for Chelsea. Very, very difficult start.
Just seems their business off the pitch has been a shambles at Chelsea. Selling Matic to Man United, that does not make sense to me at all. To strengthen one of your biggest rivals and to deplete yourself in there just doesn't make sense. Yeah, Bakayoko, they've signed him. Is he as good as Matic?
Time will tell. Didn't Conte say that he brought Bakayoko in, but he was going to kind of play understudy to Matic for a bit?
So selling him makes even...
We don't know what happened behind closed doors. We don't know if Mourinho had a word in Matic's ear over the summer. Matic said, look, I want a new challenge. And he went to Abramovich. And listen, what we say about Abramovich, or what people say about him being an inverted commas crook, he's actually a really nice guy in the background towards the players anyway. You know, a lot of players respect him. And it wouldn't be a surprise to me if he turned and said, right, you know, you've given us a couple of good years, a few good years.
If you want to go. And also the Costa situation. Another shambles. If we know that he's going to be out the door, why don't you just sell him, get rid of a player that is clearly unhappy at the club, and use the money to invest to strengthen your squad that you really need strengthening?
Yeah.
So
that was a confusing one for me.
Yeah,
anyway.
It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I don't know. The Matt situation is weird for me because I'm not being funny. You watched him on Sunday, and he looked like he'd been playing for Man United for about 10 years. He's probably the piece of the jigsaw that they really need. Lukaku was great, and yet it starts to look they start to look like a team again, a Man United team. But for me, you know, you've brought in a proven Premier League player, and I think he might be the piece of the cog that they actually needed more than maybe a Lukaku or whatever else. Do you know what I mean? Because he's established. He doesn't look unruffled at all. He played some beautiful passes, you know, throughout the game. And he obviously breaks up the play very well. And he's that secure backbone that a club like Man United, with all their expansive play now, the way they want to play, actually need. So, you know, I can't be manager of Chelsea and be happy with losing a player like that. Not only losing him, but losing him to Man United. Not only losing him to Man United, but losing him to Jose Mourinho. You can't be happy with that at all.
Absolutely. Well, we put this to our viewers, our Twitter followers and all the guys on Facebook group page in our bite back section. And we asked them, what is your take on the current situation at Chelsea? We had a fairly good response. We had a gentleman called at Rodinator. I don't know what he's trying to imply there. He said the same thing after losing to Arsenal last season. Media loves having a field day. Fair enough. At expat Guna said, as much nonsense as clubs going invincibles level after one match, mate. Marathon, not a 20-yard dash. Controversy and panic sells. At Kwaku Azar says, Aminala and Granovska. What's her name? Granovskaya. They're inept. The rest is hooey. Now, we have a very good response from our Facebook group page. And Mike Pierre said, poor transfer window. Costa has tried to out Conte. Costa a hypocrite given how lavish his praise of Conte was in January. Harry from Sofa Sports News, which is another great podcast, says it's quite clear there are some issues at the club, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. We've played one game. When Conte's side got thumped at the Emirates early last season, nobody thought they could go on and win the title the way they did early days. Dan DeLuca, the other guy at Sofa Sports News, see, like, they're supporting us. I like this. He says if they had forced that equaliser in the 94th minute, that was clear the view that would be a lot more positive. I wouldn't be sticking the knife until after the Spurs game, as I know how that ends. And Pascal Jimbonda, our Middlesbrough fan, who's back. I don't know where he disappeared to, but maybe he's a bit upset after getting relegated. He said, Fabregas said a few months ago that no Europe was both a positive and a negative. Positive that they had one single focus, the title. Negative because top players want to challenge with the best, and for 1 year they were not to challenge. They need to get more players. So considering how Chelsea's hoard young talent, it's somewhat ironic how thin the squad is. Sorry, no one forced them to sell players or loan them out. The counterpoint is last year they didn't get their first choice targets either. Conte made champions out of Victor Moses, Alonso and Luiz, players not too heralded at all this time last year. They could beat Spurs and bring three new faces in, and all is happy again. Better to judge after the deadline. He's always seems to be the voice of reason.
He's got a point, no, man.
You know, ultimately, at the end of the day, people are going to judge no matter what. If you're going to judge after one game, aren't you? Because the football's back, and everyone's been dying to have that opinion since the end of May. So, I understand what people are saying, but ultimately, at the end of the day, they are the champion, and you're going to judge them on the transfer business today. I'm going to judge them on their performances. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, last Saturday wasn't good enough. And I would expect a massive reaction from Chelsea.
Mm-hmm. Rod, what's your take on the Chelsea situation, mate?
Yeah, that choice is that. I think they're in deep trouble. Like, they had a bad start last year to the season, but they had Matic, they had Costa, they had Hazard fit. They had John Terry, even though he wasn't playing, he's a massive character in the changing room. So, you know, they're in deep trouble. I'd be surprised if they finish in the top four. I won't see them. I don't think they'll be finishing in the top four this year because they'll have the Champions League to do up to 10 with, and it's just the squad's just it's just not strong enough.
Fair enough. So Cahill and Fabregas were joined on the suspended list by Newcastle's Jonjo Shelvey after what can only be described as an idiotic stamp on Dele Alli right under the referee's nose. Rod, on a scale of 1 to Joey Essex, with 1 being the lowest and Joey Essex being the highest, how stupid must Jonjo Shelvey be to do something like that?
We'll go back to the same thing with Fabregas. These are experienced players. He's an England international. He's played for Liverpool. He's playing the Champions League. And he's stamping on someone, a 20-year-old kid who's had him, who's just basically wound him up and got him sent off. Especially when in the position of Newcastle, and he can't be doing that. You know, he's prone to this as well, Shelvey. He's a fantastic player. He can play the kid. So, you know, it's just one of them situations that he just needs to sort his head out and just grow up. And just because people are going to target him. People will target him, try and wind him up after seeing that. So he just needs to, you know, he just needs to grow up.
So you what, say eight out of Joey Essex then?
Well, no, just above Jesse. Just
above. Yes. Fantastic. Troy, Shelvey's sending off changed the mood around the stadium, as it would, although Spurs looked totally in control from the off. It was a routine win, though, wasn't it?
No, not personally for me. No, not for me. I thought Newcastle did all right. To be fair, I thought Spurs were poor up until the time Shelvey got sent off. I think you're right. I think they were in control without doing anything. I thought Spurs didn't have a lot of get up and go about them. I was quite surprised about the way they approached the game. I think Dwight Gale being a little bit fitter with the two opportunities he had right at the beginning of the game could have changed the whole focus of it. But I think the sending off was the most pivotal point of the game because I think Tottenham then really dominated. They took control as you would, really. Do you know what I mean? There's more space on that pitch. You know, they played lovely little intricate stuff in and around the box. And I think from that point onwards, they looked a much better side. But I wasn't really impressed with them for up until the sending off, to be totally honest. I thought they looked laboured. And they're another side that, you know, the Danny Rose thing happened a couple of days before. I'm not sure people really know the impact of what happened with that. You know, I think Danny has gone and said what most of the other players are thinking anyway. We don't know what's happening in the changing room about that either. And I just thought they looked a little bit, it looked like the first game of the season for them. And it looked like it was a little bit too much. Maybe they're travelling around the summer, you know, all these pre-season tours that these teams are undertaking now. Maybe that had something to do with it. But the minute Shelby got sent off, I think everyone knew the outcome. And it was obviously very, very difficult for Newcastle after that.
Fair point. Well, Joselu, however much you want to call him, he's close to joining Newcastle, yeah. Although I doubt Stokes' third-choice striker is going to do anything to appease Benitez or even the Newcastle fans. Obviously, demand the high standards. If you look at the previous strikers they had over the years, your Gandy Coles, your Shearers, Ferdinand, Espria, you know, Joselu, I don't know. But they're going to struggle this season with that proper investment, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was notable on Sunday as well. I think they got two defensive injuries and they, you know, you looked at their bench and it's thin as well. Mm-hmm. And they haven't really strengthened at all since they've come up. And we all know in this league, you need the big squad. It's not about the 11. You need players to come off the bench to make an impact. You've got injuries, you've got suspensions. You need a squad. I'll be surprised if Benitez lasts the season, to be honest.
Well, see, this is the thing. You know, Antonio Conte, Benitez. I mean, how many managers are contemplating their future right now?
Mark Hughes, I think, is another one. And I think Ashley had an interview with, was it Sky the other day, saying he can't compete with everybody else and the money's actually not there. It's worrying times, especially with the money that's in the Premiership at the moment. Yeah. For them coming up, surely there's a few bucks for Newcastle to spend there if they're ambitious enough to stay up. If they don't spend, they're going to be fighting relegation again and worrying times.
Well, you've got to speculate to accumulate, as they say. And you look at Huddersfield, who have obviously strengthened. Yeah. I worry for Brighton because I don't think they've strengthened at all. But Newcastle are another club. But going back to the game, did you see that Matt Ritchie challenge straight after the red card for Shelby? Yeah. Was that not more of a red card?
Yeah. I think that's
more of a red card than Cahill's. Mm. That's brutality.
Yeah.
Almost killed the guy.
Yeah.
That Ferguson with Van Persie almost killed him.
To be honest with you, pick up on a couple of points there. I mean, I should have mentioned this before, but I know it wasn't good getting the two injuries that Newcastle did and they had to change their back line, but I think it benefited them. Lascelles and Mbemba play actually very, very well together, having watched them play quite a number of games. So I thought that actually benefited them at the back because Mbemba is as strong as a brick wall and Lascelles has got a bit of pace and a bit of know-how. So obviously it meant that they were short in terms of bringing on the likes of Murphy, who could have done quite a bit in the game as well. The other thing is, I agree with you, I don't think Rafa's going to continue to take this. You know, no one expects Newcastle to be lavishing money the way that Man City have and the way that, you know, Man United have. But, you know, let's be serious. That club with the fan base, etc., should be mid-table to start with and then looking to kick on into that higher echelon of the next group that's trying to challenge the top six or seven superpowers, as they say in the league. Rafa blowing his hair out. But believe you me, if he leaves that club, if he walks away from that club, I think he takes 52,000 people with him, to be totally honest.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when he got he was appointed Newcastle manager and then obviously the club got relegated and he gave them that one more year. And I think there might have been a deal struck between him and Ashley to say, look, I'll give you one more year, but if we get promoted, you need to back me. And I don't think Ashley is able to live up to his end of the bargain, which wouldn't surprise me if Benitez left. Because let's be 100% honest, as good as a manager Benitez is, he's got previous for walking, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Especially when the chips go.
But they're not backing him. They're not backing him. You know, he had a very good squad when they went down, and he was appointed far too late to save that squad. Although we nearly got them out of trouble. He asked the board to back him and do it his way when they went to the Championship, and he proved, all right, listen, they won it on the last day of the season. Many say they should have walked with it. Whatever else, he bought proven Championship players to get him out of that league. And what he's done is he's asked the board to give him now proven Premier League players to make Newcastle competitive, and they haven't done that. That's the way I see it. And obviously, I know a lot of people up there, and every other week they're talking about, you know, this could be it for Rafa, this could be it. And if he does walk, he will not be by the fans. It will definitely be the board, because they've got a manager that can save them and that can push them on, and he's not being given the backing that he needs.
If there was one positive for Newcastle on Sunday, I thought it was Atsu.
Yeah.
I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah.
He was direct, he was quick, he was going past players, he was taking shots, he was tracking back, which is not really part of his game, but I thought he had a good game. That was impressive. Game,
but then again, the right back was making his debut, got the man of the match. So there you go. Right, title favourites United and Sete got off to winning ways, beating West Ham and Brighton respectively. Troy, City made light work of beating Brighton. Do you think Guardiola will be unhappy or disappointed with the amount of opportunities missed in front of goal? I mean, that was one of his main gripes last season.
Not really. I think, you know, when you start the season, the first thing you want is a win. I think what I'd be pleased with that they were creating chances straight away. And I think that he's forming the team that he wants now. You know, you look at the two fullbacks. Kyle Walker was man of the match. I don't care what anyone Tottenham says. He's a massive loss as far as I'm concerned. Danilo's not going to play left back all the time, but he gets on advanced. You've got Vincent Kompany now, touchwood, injury free. And then you look at the forward thinking players there. I mean, you know, the fact that you can leave people like Sane and Sterling on your bench and bring them on, you know, halfway, I don't know, 60, 70 odd minutes. I think he's now getting the team that he wants. And I think, you know, when they gel, and I saw them play Spurs in the preseason friendly out in America, they were good that day. They were very good that day. And I think he'll get his consistency. He'll get his wins at the moment and he'll get his consistency further down the line. But I think people need to fear both Manchester clubs because I think both of them have done so well in the transfer market in the, you know, this time around. And I think they know, I think both clubs are hurting from last season. So I think Guardiola will be happy with the victory. Listen, you'd always like one more or two more, but I think he knows that there's going to be bigger challenges for City as they come along. And I think they'll sharpen their tools a little bit later on in the season.
Change of system helped them as well, I think.
Yep.
Going throughout the back suits them. Style of the players they have suits that system.
Yeah. That's right. And you, I know you've been itching to talk about this. United, big performance at the weekend. I know you expected and wanted a more expansive system. Go on. The floor is yours.
It was good, wasn't it? Years to watch United play like that. 4 years. Thanks. Really good. Really good. The two and a half slot. Big and strong. Powerful by Ian Jones. I thought they had a really good game. The spine of the team now looks good. The football looks good. It seems like everybody knows their job. That was brilliant.
But let's be honest, I'm happy with the result. I'm happy with the performance. But look at West Ham, right? They had Cresswell was out injured. Fonte was on the bench. Snodgrass didn't play. Carroll didn't play. Who else? Central midfielder. Kouyaté didn't play. Let's be honest.
Antonio.
So this wasn't a fully strong lineup West Ham, as strong as they could have put out.
But they had
I know you can only beat what's in front of you.
They had summer signings that were eager to embrace.
But we can't get ahead of ourselves as United fans because we know that there's another 37 games to go. We know what United are capable of doing in it from a rubbish standpoint as well. Putting nightly.
But it was positive, it's encouraging, it's exciting. The fact that you've got pace now, you've got strength, you've got Matic, who Trey mentioned earlier, is going to sit in front of that back foot. What impressed me more about Matic, everyone knows he's a ball winner, and for me, it was distribution on the ball. It was outstanding. He played it short, he played it long, he controlled the midfield, which allowed Pogba and the rest of the players to go and do what we had, you know, what they had to do. And even players like Martial coming off the bench, 5-6 minutes, goal, impact. That's what you need now. You know, United lacked goals last season. And that was United's biggest win at home for like 3-4 years. So
since the QPR game, wasn't it? Yeah.
So it says a lot. Yeah, I'm not going to get too carried away. Like you said, it's 37 games to go, but there's something about United. You know, I think the hunger's there. Mourinho looks a lot more arrogant. You know, a lot more confident, and that says a lot.
Absolutely. And Rod, you mentioned Van Dijk on our United show the other day. Liverpool twice came back from behind at Watford, then even went 3-2. However, not for the first time. The lack of leadership at the back was there to see. And it just seems like they're really, really in desperate need for someone like Van Dijk at the moment, aren't they?
They are, but they still lead goals. I'm not sure that if Van Dijk is gonna show them up completely. They do this soul marking, and if people aren't in the right places and need to be able to go and attack the ball, so I think they've got more issues. But it definitely helped them. They've got an exciting squad, but it'll be definitely a loss if Coutinho goes. So, But to be honest, I hope we get relegated.
Get honesty on the show. Yeah. What can I tell you?
I'm not a fan of Markin.
Do you see, the thing is, statistically, it worked better under Benitez.
Mm.
Benitez got it right. But
I'm a man-to-man, you know. That's your man.
The problem I've got with the way that he plays, it's okay playing that system, but with no break, it's very difficult to hear that high-intensity pressure system all season long. It's a long season, especially with not a massive squad that they've got. So I see them competing to December and January and then just blowing out because they don't get a rest and they just play in that way in the English game. It's just very difficult, especially if you haven't got a big squad.
Yeah. The thing is, if it happens again, where they get injuries December and January time, this would be in the third winter in a row that they would get injuries. I mean, the last winter and the winter before, they got hamstring injuries, they got calf injuries, and it was the same players, the players with low centre of gravity, not short players. and it just seemed to be a pattern emerging. I just think that if Klopp hasn't learned from his mistakes last season, Liverpool are in trouble. And I know he's not being backed financially by FSG, whatever the story is about that, I don't know. But the one thing I have to say about Klopp is that defensively, he's not sound. I don't know what it is about his... Okay, going forward, they're great. They play lovely football and they're attacking. They're very direct. But when it comes to the defensive side of the game, it was the same with Dortmund. Dortmund were never a watertight...
They were 14th Dortmund at one time with Klopp, weren't they?
But there you go. So that's the one concern that I would have if I was a Liverpool fan. I rarely hear Liverpool fans say a bad thing about Jurgen Klopp, so I'm probably going to get pelters for this. But like I said, I don't think he's defensively sound. I don't think he's got that in his locker to organise a back four. Maybe it's the backroom staff that got something to do with it. I don't know. But
he's in the Guardiola mold, isn't he? That kind of same similarity where play attacking football and maybe defensively both cultures are not good defensively.
Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway. Right. Three more strikers bag debuts on the opening day. Lacazette handed Arsenal a good win against Leicester City. Headed them in front after only 5 minutes. Meanwhile, Wayne Rooney marked his return to Everton with the winner against Stoke. However, of the day came at Selhurst Park, where newly promoted Huddersfield Town gave Frank de Boer a first competitive game in charge to remember. Rod, Huddersfield showed absolutely no fear, while Palace looked like a side still getting to grips with a new system. What did you make of Huddersfield's overall performance?
Yeah, I was really impressed. We did the show last week. I don't think I had Huddersfield to get relegated, but I was very, very impressed. You know, it's going to take time, obviously, for Palace because they're going to change the whole way they're playing, it looks like. So that'll take time. But, you know, they need to get it right quickly because it's concerning if they're getting beat 3-0 at home like that after a team that has just been promoted. But we've seen it before. If the team's come up and they've got a centre-forward that'll score goals and win them games, then, and the kid, I don't know his name, the kid got a couple of goals.
Big lad.
Yeah. He looked a decent sign, so you know they looked an exciting outfit. They were bright, a lot of chances, not what you'd expect from a promoted team. So it was it was a good game. It surprised me. So yeah, it was a good game.
That's right. And Troy, what would you say to Palace fans who fear the worst under the ball? Because I've seen a few tweets here and there from fanzines saying, "Oh, they're not sure whether he's the right man," even after one game, which is a bit strange.
I had the pleasure, or the lack of the pleasure, of watching the game on Saturday. Huddersfield were good. They had a game plan. You'd see what their game plan was. You know, they weren't going to give Palace time on the ball. They were going to hustle them and harry them and then use possession really well, to be totally honest. I'm not convinced by the 3-4-3, if you want me to be totally honest. I'm not quite sure the personnel is there to play it. They've only had 4 pre-season games to put it into practice as well, which I was quite surprised about. You have to give a manager a chance to implement his ideas and to get those across. But I look at the personnel and I'm just wondering, well, you know, Ruben Loftus-Cheek played up front to start with, one of the 3 up front, you know, looked like a fish out of water, and then played in his natural position, centre of the park, and dominated and bossed the game. You know, so there's a thing there. Listen, yeah, it's too early to make rash judgments, but like I said, at the moment, I think the 3-4-3 system, you know, can only be played by teams who who have the right personnel, but also look like they work on it tirelessly. You know, that didn't happen overnight for Conte. Spurs have got the personnel to play it when they want to play it. You even looked at Arsenal on Friday night when they started to play Monreal, and you know the reason Leicester scored so many goals was because they knew how to get in, you know, against the system that Arsenal were playing, and there was nothing Arsenal could do about it when they did. So you know you have to be some kind of team to play that formation, and you have to have 11 players that understand it as well, because you know sometimes you can hide in a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1, whatever you want to call the formations that are out there now. But I think in this 3-4-3 formation, no chance. There's no hiding at all. And every single player has to step up to the mark. And I think Palace have got a lot to learn around that at the moment. And it'll be interesting to see how they develop.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fairly young squad as well. Now they've brought in Rui de Vara from Ajax. And obviously, Fosu-Mensah's coming from United.
Fosu-Mensah done well. He's done well. Yeah. He's young. He's athletic. He takes no prisoners. You know, his distribution of the ball was good. I thought he did very, very well, considering, you know, he only came in on the Tuesday or whatever it was and was straight in. And you know, there was one tackle, a recovery tackle, when he had no right in getting back. And just before, I think it was Meunier was just about to strike, you know, he got back and knocked the ball away and put it out for a throw. And he had no right to even get near the ball. So his pace and his awareness was there as well. Be a good signing for Palace, and obviously will benefit the amount of games that he's going to get. It will benefit him in his Man United career for the future.
Absolutely. And mate, Arsenal showed a lot of fight to turn it around against Leicester, especially with the players that they got injured. You've got to give them that. Do you think the fight they showed to win the game changed your views on their prospects this season?
Not really. I don't think they'll win the league, Arsenal. I think they'll come short. I still think they'll finish in their short. No pun intended. Great. Shall I carry on now?
Carry on. Yeah,
thanks. I still think they'll finish in the Champions League places. I've tipped them to finish third this year. They showed a lot of resilience. They showed a lot of fight, especially they were under pressure, believe it or not. Even if it's the first game of the season, I was waiting for the Wenger out banners already after 60, 70 minutes. You can feel the hostility at Arsenal. You can feel the tension at the Emirates. And they got away with it.
Yeah.
They scored some fabulous goals, I thought. I thought the last two goals, especially Ramsey's goal, the touch and the finish was outstanding for me. Excellent goal.
Wait. Shaka's pass, my friend.
Yeah, Shaka's pass. Thank you. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was brilliant. Outside of the foot as well. But he's got that Shaka. He's got that in his locker. So it was good. It was good. They need their players back. They need to keep Sanchez. It's a must for me. They have to keep. And they still have to strengthen. I think Arsenal have gone a bit quiet now on the transfer side. You're not hearing a lot. There was Lamar at Monaco that was kind of a talk, but you're not hearing anything from Arsenal. I still think they need a couple of players there.
Yeah, but they've got this habit of buying late in the transfer window.
Yeah,
I will not be surprised if they drop points at the weekend. The fans just go absolutely potty, and
then go buy somebody,
and a few players. Like, remember when they brought in Arteta, they brought Mertesacker,
Santos.
And, yeah, the left back, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the striker as well. Was it? What's his name? Young?
Not worth talking about. Yeah,
he's not there anymore. I don't know. I think when you said about Arsenal and there's that hostility in the ground, there's a little side of me that thinks that whenever they score a last minute winner or something like that, a lot of the fans, they're happy about scoring the goal, but they're also happy to rub the noses in the Arsene Wenger out brigade kind of thing. It's it's strange. It's a strange atmosphere at the club. I won't go into it because we've got a lot of Arsenal fans that listen to the show. We don't get bombarded with death threats. In other news, Neymar marked his Paris Saint-Germain debut with a goal and an assist, while Cristiano Ronaldo made the headlines for his Jekyll and Hyde performance in the Spanish Super Cup. Troy, without sounding disrespectful to Liga, is there any point actually predicting which team will win the league and which player will take the golden boot there?
Well, listen, we've got two to win the league and we've got two to win the golden boot. So, there's a choice you can have. Is it the most competitive league in the world? I think we all know it's not. I think Ronaldo's 23 minutes on Sunday proved that he doesn't even have to be fit to perform. You know what I mean? The goal was unbelievable. I don't believe it was a sending off, which I don't think anyone would. But, you know, ultimately he's paid the price for. his demeanour's there. But listen, I don't think we're in an era now where it's Barcelona, it's Real Madrid, it's Messi or it's Ronaldo. You've got to remember, both are coming to the end of their careers as well. You know, I don't know if they're going to play until they're 36 and 40 and still be scoring 160 goals every season. But it's, you know, they're coming to the end of their era. So, you know, I think there's change going on at Barcelona at the moment. It'll be interesting to see how they spend the Neymar money. We all know the names that have been bandied about. The names bandied about, I think Coutinho will be absolutely fabulous for Barcelona. And Dembele is a, you know, is a young man who's going to grow into the game. So, but I like the look of Zinedine Zidane's Real Madrid, you know, because they hurt Barcelona without Ronaldo and people would never have said that before. You know, so you think about it, it will be a good league again this year. Madrid are not as strong as Atletico are not as strong as what they were before. I think, you know, those sides may throw in the odd win or so, but it's not like the Premier League, is it, to be totally honest? So, you know, it's Barcelona or Real Madrid again. It's Messi or Ronaldo again, isn't it? And that's just about it.
Yeah. I think the same can be said for Ligue 1. Who's it going to be? It's either going to be Neymar or Falcao. But then again, you've got Mbappe that might...
Cavani.
But yeah, then again, Mbappe might end up at Paris Saint-Germain for what we've heard. Yeah. So...
But to be fair, I mean, that's the reason Neymar moved, didn't he? And so if he doesn't win the Golden Boot, if he doesn't win the Player of the Year, if he's not the Ballon d'Or winner, if he's not, you know what I mean, if he's not wearing a crown by the end of the season or midway of the season, that 198 mil or whatever how much it was is gonna be money not well spent. So that's the reason he's gone there. Let's be serious, because you don't leave Barcelona without, you know, being a little bit selfish. And I can understand it in a way, because... You know, he wants to be the number one. He believes he's good enough to be the number one, and he's never going to be the number one while Lionel Messi's at Barca.
Absolutely. And as for Neymar, his old team, Barcelona, were played off the park by Real Madrid at the Nou Camp, something that we haven't seen in a long time. When was the last time Barcelona actually got a tonking at home? I think, was it the 5-0 back in the 90s when Laudrup was at Real Madrid? A long time ago.
Yeah.
As Troy said, Real Madrid looked absolutely streets ahead of Barca. And to be fair, mate, I can't see Messi carrying Barcelona through this season. No, he's done it in the past, but obviously he's another year old and whatnot. They need reinforcements, don't they? They need it sharpish.
This might sound funny, but they sold the Ferrari and bought a Skoda in Delafeu, to be fair. Delafeu is not a Barcelona player. I'm sorry. If, you know, he started and he looked way out of his depth. He did not look like a player that can go out Barcelona. I know it's the first game, and sorry, any Delafeu fans.
He struggled to even get in the Milan side last season.
Yeah, and Payish at Everton, he's not a Barcelona player for me. At least he was just playing now until they get, you know, a top marquee signing. Midfield looked lethargic. Yep. Rakitic didn't look the player that he was. Busquets looked lost because there was no one around to help him. Was the worst shocking games I've seen PK have for a while. They don't look like a Barcelona outfit. And Van Verde, the new manager, is a new manager. So he needs probably time to get his ideas across. Well, Zidane and Real Madrid are just excelling. You know, they beat United in the Super Cup. Now they've gone and given Barcelona a tonking. And he's record Zidane since he's been Real Madrid's manager. I don't think Zidane gets enough credit for me. No, I really don't.
I agree.
For a manager.
No, I agree. Yeah.
What's he been a manager? A year and a half? Is it a year and a half
he's
now?
Won, he's won two Champions League, mate.
Two Champions League?
It's about 3 years, hasn't he?
Is it three? Two and a half years? Yeah. He took over from Benitez, didn't he?
Yeah.
Two and a half years.
I think you can tell.
He's won three on the bounce. They're the first team to do it, to win the Champions League.
No, they've won it twice. Twice.
Was it three on the bounce, was it?
No, twice.
Twice. He's won it three out of 4 years.
He's won it 3 years.
Is it two out of three?
No, he's won. No,
we're arguing.
This is good, this bit, Rod, isn't it? Hey? The two of them ain't got a clue.
He beat Atletico twice.
Three out of 4 years, then.
Yeah, 3 out of 4 years. So he won three times. Okay, he hasn't won it three in a row, but he's won it three times. Okay, we've agreed. It's three.
Anyway, Zidane doesn't get enough credit.
I was going to add to the mix there. You look at a player like Isco, who now is very, very pivotal to what Real Madrid do. There was rumours last season that he was going to Spurs. He was going, he couldn't fit into the system. He'll never get in front of, you know, Bale and all them. Mm-hmm. You look at Isco now and his performance away, you know, in at the Nou Camp was absolutely, they couldn't touch him. They couldn't touch him. And he was everything that Barcelona wanted, Real Madrid wanted. You think there was no Modric there. There was no Modric there the other night. Do you know what I mean? So Modric comes back in. that team gets even stronger than what it was. So I think Barcelona are way behind Real Madrid at the moment. Listen, they'll probably prove us wrong. Messi will come out, get a hat-trick tomorrow night, and everyone will wonder what's happened. But do you know what I mean? I personally think they're way behind at the moment.
Troy, can I add Asensio to that? What's up?
Yes, yes. Footballer he is. Great footballer. Great footballer. Great goal. Foot. Yeah. He
looks like a proper player. Asensio.
He looks like he plays with no care, does he? No respect for anybody. Do you know what? Right. I know, I'm
just a kid in the park. I'm good and I'm playing, and it plays for Real Madrid.
The thing is, it's almost as if the shoe's on the other foot now, because Real Madrid are actually using their B team and Castilla to bring through younger players, whereas Barcelona are doing what Real Madrid used to do and just buying players.
Going out and buying players.
But the thing is with Barca, it's very reminiscent of a lot of teams that are going through that cycle in a phase whereby they're dismantling the squad. It's a very successful team that's being dismantled. Like Milan had it, you know, when the Dutch players started to leave. United, obviously, Liverpool, Arsenal, when they went, they had the invincible season. Their squad was slowly being dismantled. With Barcelona, it's like the glue has been kind of like picked off, whereby you know, PK's another year older. Puyol is gone. Xavi's gone. Iniesta doesn't have the legs anymore. Yeah, sure. Messi is slowly slowing down. Suarez obviously still there, but with Neymar leaving, that's a big loss. And the players that they're bringing in are nowhere near good enough to replace those that have gone. But then again, you're talking about one of the greatest teams in the modern era.
Yeah.
It's impossible to replace or even find alternatives. We said it when Robson retired. How can Robson be replaced? You don't replace these players. You just find alternatives.
Listen, it happens, doesn't it? You know, you look at the great Man United teams when that era, you know, of players came through, from young players to established players, and they were untouchable. Do you know what I mean? Sooner or later, that team has to break up and they have to try and bring players in that will supplement what they used to have. You're never going to be able to bring in like for like. You're never going to be able to match it exactly the way you want it. And then Man United went in, you know, a little bit of decline. So, you know, Barca are at that stage now where they've had first-class players performing at the highest level for far too many years. And those players are waning a little bit now. And it's how they replace them. That transition of how they replace them will, you know, and I would have liked to have seen a Guardiola or an Enrique still at the club to be able to smooth that transition. I think the new guy's got a massive, massive task on him now. Absolutely massive task.
Troy, do you remember last time you were on the show and I said, you know, it was a stupid thing for me to say, but people don't fear Barcelona anymore? That was, what, 2 years ago? I mean,
you're just trying to big yourself up, yeah?
No, I'm just saying that, obviously, that I think they were on the wane back then, to be fair.
Yeah.
The thing is, look, and again, I'm going to get slated for this, but I think it's the same situation as what Real Madrid had with Raul. It's the same with Messi. He needs, not that he desperately needs to go, but maybe this should be his final year, because they need to start afresh. Let Suarez be the main guy there. Let someone else be the main guy, because as a phenomenal player he is, and as a fantastic player he's been for Barcelona, there's only so much he can take them. There's only so far he can take them. There's only so much he can do. From an individual basis, yeah, we're going to see glimpses of what he can do, what he's like. But again, I think this season should be his last. Should be his last at Barca.
Last at Barca. Where's he going to go after the Barca?
Let him go back to Newell's Old Boys. I think that's a team that his dad is somewhere doing something in the background at the club. Maybe go back there. That's what a lot of these South Americans do. Or he might end up in China. But no. Or MLS or wherever the money goes, you know. But
PSG should join Neymar.
Possibly. Or maybe he needs a new challenge. You never know. Listen, he's only 31. Maybe he needs a new challenge.
Man City at Guardiola, you don't know.
See, this is the thing, you never know. Mm. Rod, what do you reckon? Do you think it's time for Messi to maybe move on at the end of the season?
No, he's been there since he's 12 years of age. I think he'll stay there for the rest of his career.
Yeah.
He seems to have a lot of players who comes and who goes as well. So maybe he's the type of person that needs to do what Guardiola and Enrique does and be the next coach. But you can't see him being that kind of character. Maybe Iniesta and Xavi will be the ones that do that. But you know, they have got issues in a minute. But let's not get overexcited. They'll still be in the semi-finals of the Champions League. They'll still give our top four sides a game in two legs. So they're not overly just yet. They're still a quality side, but no, they're nowhere.
I agree. Exactly, they're nowhere near what they used to be, and that's the thing. I don't think they will be for a long time, for a very long time.
Well, to be honest with you, I think it's another situation where let's see, come August the 1st or 31st or 1st of September, let's see who they spend that Neymar money on. And like I say, if I think it's Coutinho and Dembele, if it is those two, then I think, to be honest with you, they bought two very good players there. Mm. Coutinho, I could see, just hit the ground running. He looks like a Barca player, to be honest. And Dembele is one of the next upcoming players, you know. So, you know, we could be saying all this now, and come September the 1st, they get those players and everyone's back enjoying their football. But I agree with Rod. I can't see Messi in another kit playing somewhere else. I can't see it at all. And I think he'll still be driving that team forward. And you'll know by tomorrow night. Let's see their reaction tomorrow night in the El Clasico in the second leg. They're 3-1 down. They've been embarrassed. You know, Real Madrid have come and have slapped their backsides and their home patch. Let's see their reaction tomorrow night. And then let's start to judge them when the new signings have come in and take it from there.
Fair enough. And Rod, Messi's arch nemesis, his Megatron, his Optimus Prime, Ronaldo, he received a 5-game ban for giving the referee a little nudge. Was that a fair punishment?
Oh, it's a strange one, wasn't it? Because it wasn't really a sending off, and it wasn't really it wasn't a Paolo Di Canio push, was it? It was hardly it was like a light push. I don't think he even meant to push him, but he ended up pushing him. 5-game ban. I don't know, what did John Terry get for calling, being racist? What is that? He got 4 matches. What did Suarez get?
How long did
Suarez got? 8, didn't he? 7-8 matches. Yeah.
What did John Terry get? 4?
Yeah.
Really, if you're pushing a referee, you should be getting more than 5 games, but it's Ronaldo. If it was someone else, maybe he got 10 games. You just don't know, do you?
Good point.
Did another referee come out and say that he should have got a 12-game ban or something like that? I don't know.
I think he would have merited it, to be honest. Yeah. You can't push a referee, no matter who you are.
You can't. You can't. But at the same time, in his defence, and people are going to lambast me for this because I always defend him. That second booking was nowhere near a second booking.
No, it wasn't. No,
nowhere near at all. But I don't know.
The booking was a disgrace. So you take the one match off that you should have got for the yellow and red, and you keep the 4 matches that he got for pushing the referee. You know, it's one of those things. The booking was an absolute disgrace. It's not a dive in a million years. It's not a penalty, but it's not a dive. And it doesn't warrant the yellow that follows the red. I haven't got a clue what the referee was seeing there. Maybe he's a Barca fan and was a bit embarrassed that Real Madrid were so much better than them in the Nou Camp, you know. But yeah, I've just, you know, it's difficult because he's being punished for something that he shouldn't have been punished for. But that's the nature of the beast, isn't it? That's the way it goes.
Absolutely.
Ronaldo's got to deal with people kicking him and referees trying to make a name on him. Because like he says, it was never a sending off. Never a sending off.
Oh, but what a goal, though.
Yeah.
Oh, been on the pitch, 5 minutes? Yeah. Puts it top corner.
Just can't like believe it. I can't believe you're talking about the goal. You've got to be talking about his physique, no?
That was one of his bookings.
Well, exactly.
That's why the referee booked him.
Yeah.
Listen, I'd take my shirt off in the Nou Camp if I scored a goal like that. So you know what I mean. There's no way that you're not gonna.
Well, certainly feels like that.
Great stuff. Well, gents, one more thing before we go. Yeah. Let's have a quick quiz to mark the 25th anniversary of when English
football. You and your quizzes.
It's my first one of the season. Come on, we're gonna mark the 25th anniversary of when English football was created. Oh, you know, or should I say when the Premier League was created? Okay, you're gonna be the first one.
All right. No pressure.
Who was the very first leading goal scorer? Who's the first Premier League leading goal scorer ever? 293, very first.
Andy Cole.
Newcastle weren't even in the Premier League then. Wrong. It was Teddy Sheringham. 22 goals. Go away.
Right. I knew the answer.
Well, I'll pass it over. The next person that goes, I'll pass it over.
Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, we're not in the Forest. They got relegated as well.
Should have got that.
Yeah. Troy, who was the first manager to field a non-English starting 11?
I know the answer.
Go on.
Non-English.
You know the team. I know the team. It should be an obvious one.
Can I make up for my last one?
Let Troy.
Yeah, go on. No. Go on. Let him make up half of it.
Go on.
Was it Chelsea?
Yeah.
Against Southampton, I think it was.
Go on. Yeah, but ask for the manager. I didn't ask for the team.
Viali.
Well done. Okay, you got it.
Gianluca Viali. Wow.
There you go. There you
I go. Knew that as well.
There you go. Rod, which striker has scored the most injury time goals in Premier League history?
What a stupid question that is.
I'll give you a hint. He's still playing? Yeah, still playing in the Premier League.
Oh, that narrows it down. No. Injury time. I got it.
Should do.
I think.
No, I haven't.
No, I haven't. Forget it.
He's still playing.
I'm just trying to throw Rod off.
Well, do you know what, Troy? I think you support the team that he used to play for.
Who does Troy support?
Who do you support, Troy?
I don't know anymore. I'm so confused.
Right, who did you say it is?
Pardon?
Who did you say it was?
Wayne Rooney.
Nope. Do you want to guess?
No, give me another guess.
Give me another guess.
And he's still playing?
Yeah.
Still playing?
Yeah.
Oh, you've absolutely done me on that one.
Is he a striker?
He's a striker. What did I say?
Still playing in the, still playing in the Premier League? Did you say
Jermaine Defoe?
Yes, it's Jermaine Defoe.
Oh, jeez.
14 goals. 14 injury time goals.
How did I get my question wrong and the others right? I'm quite
JD. Yeah, JD. Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's do one more quick one. Yeah. Which defender has got the most assists in Premier League history and he's still playing now?
Ooh. Is he a midfielder now?
Nope. Unless they've changed the system, which I don't think they have.
And he's still playing?
He's still playing.
Leighton Baines.
Well done. Bang on.
Great shout. 50, great shout.
50-0.
Great assists. Shout. That was great quality. Shout.
Well,
great was. Shout. You've got to have one more question now. You haven't got okay. One in your head, have you?
I do. I do.
That because me and Jan are one and Troy.
No,
I've got one more, but I don't know exactly the correct amount. Okay, which goalkeeper has saved the most penalties in the Premier League?
That's for me, yeah?
Yeah, go on.
Is he still playing?
Nope. Well, no, actually he is, but in a different country. He's playing in India.
Oh,
I only found that today.
David James,
yeah.
No, the question was mine. The question was mine.
Oh, yeah. The question Troy, was... David James.
David James. I think it was David James.
It's David James.
Yeah, oh,
David
so that's James. One each, yeah?
Yeah. Place for Kerala Blasters.
Yeah.
Joined them, and so is Wes Brown. So,
that's
yeah.
Right. Great team. Yeah. My new favourites.
Is that Rod?
Yeah, Wes Brown's just gone there. I just said it.
Yeah, he's just signed from now. Yeah, because Rennie Mullins seems their manager. Yeah,
that's it. Yeah.
There you go.
Hope he's got some good diarrhea tablets.
Is that what Terry Phelan told you?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, I love this show. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Well, gents, look, thank you ever so much for your time. It's been an absolutely, it's an absolute pleasure having you both on, and you as well. Yeah. Sorry for the short jokes.
That's right.
It hasn't been a short show, but thank you guys for staying on. Just like to give a quick shout out to our partners, FNX Network, Youth Energy, My Sportswear, and Save Association, who we've already mentioned, Buyback Publishing, DCF Sports Legal, Lucky 7 Management, and last but not least, Sova Sport News, another great podcast. catch them on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, and FNX. Rod, do you want to give everyone your Twitter handle so they can send abuse to you?
Yeah, Rod James Giggs.
Fantastic. Troy?
At Towno10.
Boom. And you?
Yannickus J. I had to think about
well
that again.
Well done. Do you want to spell it out? Do it phonetic. Do it phonics and that kind of stuff. You know.
Yankee India Alpha. November,
okay, stop
November.
It. Right, we have our own Twitter handle. It's a short one, yeah. At Shooting Defence, we're on Facebook. Give us a follow there. And we'll be back very, very soon. Take care.